All right, well, I'll try to make it a little more challenging. And now we'll say that she's been on tamoxifen for 5 years. And now she comes in again. You see her for the first time. She's just finishing her fifth year of tamoxifen.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we're all trying to struggle with who needs prolonged hormonal therapy. And I think the issue is related to recurrence risk. And one shorthand way that I get around the issue is that it looks like it's pretty clear that even from the higher risk patients, your risk of recurrence will be about, use up about half your risk of recurrence in the first 5 years. It's probably going to be even less for the low risk patients because they won't have as big a peak. We know that, you know. And so anybody that you'd think would meet a threshold for treatment initially would still have that same risk threshold at 5 years, to my way of thinking. Now, we know that tamoxifen has a carryover effect, and we're not sure about the aromatase inhibitors, but I would think that if I had enough risk to want to treat initially, then I have enough risk to want to chat about treatment, you know, after 5 years. Most women are receptive to that. And it's interesting, I have a difficult time trying to reconcile that observation with the data on adherence to hormonal agents, which again is getting a fair amount of attention now for both the tamoxifen and aromatase inhibitors. And Partridge has a couple presentations. I just did a review article on this topic where it looks like in some cases, 20% of women aren't taking any tamoxifen after 1 year. And in some of these large kind of drug disappearance studies suggest that only half the patients are taking it in the fourth year. So it's an interesting challenge to reconcile long duration therapy with the fact that half the patients are choosing to take shorter duration therapy than we even initially prescribed.
It's interesting. You know, we've done surveys of physicians, oncologists specifically, nurses, as well as patients, and asked all three groups to what extent that they think adherence is an issue in long-term hormonal therapy. And the docs say, no, it's no problem. The patients take their medicine. The nurses say the same thing. And the patients say, yeah, we take our medicine. So there's a little bit of a disconnect between these papers that are coming out saying that people don't take it versus sort of what people believe. How sure are we that these people really aren't taking their medicine? How sure is the data that's out there?
Well, I think the data is probably pretty good. I mean, you know, you end up having these big databases that are able to track, you know, the companies are able to track prescription use by individuals, and then they report it as group data. And looking at it, even in relatively close settings, it appears to be the case. I think we're all impressed with the data that's been quoted for, I don't have firsthand knowledge about how good it is, but for Gleevec for CML patients, where it looks like, you know, the average use is, you know, people aren't taking it for maybe 100 days in the first year, where basically you have this in-your-face life-threatening condition that would certainly, you know, with high probability result in death in a few years. And then even then, people are not taking it a third of the time. So I think there is tension between, are the results believable? I find the results believable myself, but I agree that there is tension between those results. And I think the first thing will be that the clinicians may not want to do anything unless they actually believe the results and think there's going to be an association with the adverse outcome. When you're at a presentation where you have a chance for interaction, universally the physicians say that their patients take their medication. And so there is a bit of a disconnect there.
How do you respond if a patient says, gee, I really have a hard time paying with this medicine. I've already taken treatment for 5 years. Do I really need it?
Yeah, so we'll go over the numbers and see what, you know, people react differently to the numbers. And we emphasize that those are group numbers and they're not her numbers. And, you know, as an individual, either recur or you don't recur. I ask them to think about which they would think about worse because they'll never know the right answer. They either recurred and took or didn't take the medication. So would you feel worse if you took the medication knowing it didn't do you any good? Or would you feel worse if you had a recurrence and thought you might have prevented it by taking the medication? And I think once people answer that question for themselves, they can confidently move forward with their decision because they're discounting it in advance. In a certain, it just kind of sounds like talking to a financial advisor, you know, when he says, well, how much risk will you tolerate? Would you be happier with losing 50% of your assets or missing a 30% increase? And I think different people will address that same question differently.